hate I left and I pride. We're corrupted inside. Yo, the road to destruction is wide.
Grateful, Lord, this morning, Father, for the breath of life. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for this day, Father. And right now, Lord God, as your people, Lord, we come before you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we come before you, Father, as people that are seeking, Lord God, and desiring, Lord, to walk in your truth and in your life, Lord God, in your purpose and in your plan. And so right now, Father God, we just lay aside every weight, Father God. We lay aside everything, Lord, that entangles, Lord God, and snares. And Father, we run the race, Lord God, with your Spirit that quickens and guides us, Lord. We ask and pray this morning, Father, Lord, that you would just be with us, Lord God, in a really amazing way, Father. Lord, that you would encourage the hearts of every person here. And Lord Jesus, right now, Father, we do bind every demonic spirit. We bind every force of the enemy, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Father God, this morning for the free flow, Lord, of your Spirit in this place. And Lord God, I just get out of the way, Father. I ask and pray, Lord, for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in and through each and everything that we're in and evolved and about and in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray as you go forward. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so the point being that if the word goes, everything goes. If the truth goes, everything goes. Yeah, I had a friend of mine who was a pastor in the States. Good pastor. There's some bad ones, there's some good ones. And he has a very large church in the States. And with all of this, and he has a staff of 200 people that work for him in some of his projects. And with all of the stuff that he does, he still takes every Tuesday and every Friday and gets away completely with God for the full day. And he spends that time in prayer and in studying the scriptures and in preparing the messages that will go forward for when they have those messages. And a lot of people have tried to call him during those times and all of that, but he's very... Now, this is just what he does, not what I do, but he protects that very strongly. And one of the things that he said one time, I remember when he was speaking, he says, you people, with all the ministries that are happening here and all the programs that are happening here, you need to understand that if the word goes, all of this goes. If the truth goes, all of this goes. If your connection to Christ goes, all of it goes. So for us, one thing that we do when we come together like this is we deliberately come together to seek the will and the kingdom of God in deliberately all of us free will. And one thing I've definitely noticed in my own life, when I've stayed on track with the Father, that everything else in my life flows very smoothly. Yes, there's attacks, there's things that come, there's stuff that happens, but myself, I'm flowing with the Spirit of God, that with what God's doing. But if I get out of that place and I start getting distracted with all the things that are going on, I'll be out of place. Then everything starts becoming like that. It becomes one whirlwind. So the point being, get the first things first. Seek the first things first. The right things in the right order. The right priorities. Okay, John 7.
John 7.
John 7. At verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake, he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay. So Jesus standing up in front of all of the people at a prominent time in a Jewish celebration. And in a time when everybody's eating and drinking, Jesus is talking to them, saying, Hey, if you're thirsty, come to me. Now for the people that had a natural mind and a carnal mind, if you think about the pictures of this, it must have seemed very strange. If you're thirsty, drink something and out of your stomach is going to come all this water. But again, like we said before, God does so many things. He gives natural examples of spiritual realities. So he gives the example of an eagle. He makes an eagle, puts it in the sky, and says, Those that wait upon me will be like this. He puts the birds in the world, lets them fly around, and he says, Consider the birds if you're worried about something, because you have an example of something that is, they don't reap, they don't store away, but their Heavenly Father feeds them and takes care of them. So God has put so many examples in nature for our benefit, for our encouragement, for our strengthening. And if you just step out in nature for a little while, you commune with God in a really nice way. Which is why all these high rises and all these office buildings with all the neon lights are not always the best thing. People need to get out and spend some time with God. So Jesus talks though to these people. He says, look, if you're thirsty, if there's something that is you're longing for in the spirit of who you are, come to me. Now there's a recognition of the source in somebody coming to Christ. It takes somebody realizing, wait a second, I've drunk from here, I've drunk from here, I've gone to the bar, I've gone to this, I've gone to that. There's nothing that satisfies the thirst that's in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
You remember there's another one where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So there's one which is, if you're thirsty, I'll give you something to drink. If you're tired and you're weary and you come to me, I'll give you rest. Now, if you came to Jesus and you were around Jesus, what's something that would happen though? But one thing, your heart, your motives, your intentions, who you were would be exposed. You would get a really heavy dose of the truth. Big T. Big truth. Big. This is a big one. So you would get a heavy dose of the truth. And it probably wouldn't be the most comfortable place in the world if you had ulterior motives. But there's a certain price that had to be paid if you wanted to be in Jesus' company consistently. Now there's a lot of people that showed up to Jesus because they wanted to get healed. So they had some sickness, they had some infirmity in their body, they had something wrong with them, they needed something, they wanted a meal, whatever it is, they would show up to Jesus because they wanted to get something. But one thing that happens, you see, when the difficult times came around Jesus, where did those people go? So they weren't there anymore. See, people will show up when it's a good show. People will show up when you're handing something out. You'll have a lot of people there if they can get healed. But when it comes down to the truth, when it comes down to who wants really what this kingdom entails, there's not too many takers at the end. And Jesus too, one thing that he said was, look, if you want to, Mark chapter 8, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, you can't be one of my disciples. You can't walk this line unless you will do that. Yeah, I don't want to paraphrase that. Keep your finger in John and go back to Mark chapter 8 verse 34. We'll go back to John. And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so Jesus said, you can't come after me unless you deny yourself, take up your cross, you're on the way to die, and you follow me. Now, most people, from my reading of Scripture, when I go through this thing, and I'm praying about it, and I'm looking at this, where were the people when things got tough? Where did they go? Even Peter, where did he go when, in his own progression, in his own walk, when they came to grab Jesus? See, and when they went after Jesus, Peter comes out to start cutting off people's ears. But the second that they try to grab Peter, he runs away. Do you notice that? As soon as it's my life on the line, I'm gone. Sure, if they're talking about Jesus and they're talking something about Jesus, yeah, I'm going to, I'll take a stand and I'll do something. But when it's my life now that they're coming after, I'm not here anymore. Now when Peter saw the limitation of his own walk, of his own, and with all of the love that he had for God, he saw his own limitation, and he wept bitterly, and he was also, there was no rest in his spirit, because he realized, I can't do this. Now, Pentecost was a time where the work of the Spirit then actually was let loose in the lives and the hearts of the believers. Go Acts chapter 1 really quick. And again, keep your finger in John because we'll go back. But Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, so there's an empowering that comes where God says, look, wait to get this. He says, wait to get this empowering that comes by the Spirit. And when they receive it, they receive the power to be the witnesses, to be the what God has made them to be. Now before that, they didn't They were very scared. They were all hiding. In fact, here 500 people were invited and 120 actually showed up to the upper room. So there were, Jesus invited, imagine that. Jesus, after the resurrection, he's there, he's been walking around for 40 days, spending time with the people. He invites a lot of them, and only 120 actually show up at that point. Wait, this is the Son of God. This is the confirmed Messiah. This is, he rose from the dead. He's here. And he says, show up at this place and wait in the city for something that's going to come. And how, what percentage of them didn't show up? What, 64% didn't show up?
Thank you.
Actually showed up when they were invited. The rest of them went away. Or were somewhere else. Which, who knows? 100, okay. 24%. I'm sorry, 24%. Where's my percentages? It's early. 24%. 24% showed up. One out of four. Now, there's no more guesswork. This is the Son of God. There's no more wondering, who is this Jesus? Is he really the Messiah? Again, the question, where are the people? But there's something in the heart of people that have, without, see, they needed that Holy Spirit. They needed that empowering that would come from God because they were afraid. They were still afraid, and even those that came together, they locked the door behind them. They were worried about people that wanted to get them. The early church put some things in order, and once they did, in chapter 2, there's a point in time where the Spirit of God comes upon these people. Verse 1, chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were with one accord in one place. So God sets the parameters for when He's going to move. God sets he says, this is when and how I'm going to move. Now notice that He moves with whoever is ready to move with Him. Of the 500 that were invited, does He go and track those ones down really quick? Does He, a loving God, not want anyone to miss out on something?
Sorry?
Does a loving God not want anyone to miss out on something? Yeah, God's loving, right? He doesn't want anyone to miss anything. No, God gave an instruction. He said, go here, wait here. I'm going to do something. Once you have this, then you can go with it. For those that were in step, they were first-hand recipients and participants in an event that would change the entire world as you know it throughout this very day. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Actually, I just want to stay on the first part of verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Usually when I've heard this preach, they go right into the second part and they spend all the time talking about the second part. And they talk about speaking in tongues and da-da-da-da-da. They go off of there. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus gave an instruction. They obeyed. They were in a place with the Father. And the very Spirit of God came and resided in their physical being and in their spirit. They were filled with God. And so much so that it was overflowing out of them. It was overflowing out of their lives in ways that they were speaking, they were talking, they were speaking. All those things are just natural manifestations of a spiritual reality again. It was overflowing their lives in so many different ways. It was overflowing Peter's life, and he was once a guy that would run away, and now he's standing up in the boldness of the Spirit of God, with flanked by the other apostles. They're all standing right next to him. Not a one of them is afraid to die. Not a one of them is afraid to lose their life. None of them are afraid to lose their life. Big change. The Spirit of God was so full in their lives that healings just were happening. Nobody was thinking about them. When they would walk in the street, the shadow that they would cast would heal people. There was power that was flowing out of their lives that if there was the handkerchiefs. Just if they touched something, the power of God, there was a residue of the Spirit of God on something that it would go to somebody that was sick and they'd get it well. So God loosed His power in the lives of those who were walking with Him, who were waiting on Him, who were going with Him in the flow of what He was doing. Okay, who didn't have that experience? Who didn't have that empowering? If Jesus said, wait, He says, wait, back to verse 1. Verse 4 of chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Okay, so anyone that departed from Jerusalem, so Jesus gives a command. He says, don't depart from Jerusalem. Anyone that would have departed from Jerusalem would have missed this. If you are looking back, if you are living in that time, and you realize, wait a second, here's the risen Christ, no question whatsoever about who He is. And then here is a command that He's given. And we walk away from that because something came, whatever came up. Wouldn't you kick yourself later? But you know, eternity will be like that. There'll be a lot of people kicking themselves for all eternity. Because certain things that Jesus put out there, now there's certain things that are confirmed. Jesus is the Son of God. Everybody knows that. Everybody with half a brain that sees what's happening in the world understands and knows Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The servants of Satan know Jesus is the Son of God. You get into a deliverance ministry encounter, the demons will cry out, Jesus is the Son of God. But the only ones that maybe don't, the fool says in his heart there is no God. That's the only one, there's one proverb verse that deals with those ones. And those ones themselves will know it just a little later on. So everybody knows Jesus is the Son of God. It's just whether they've rejected Him or not. But knowing that fact, knowing the reality of that, why is it then that people choose another way, choose another path? Well, one thing that, there's something in human nature, there is something in the way that people are created, that it's there's a fear that's there. And it's real, and you can understand why it's there, because it's part of the fall. But the problem is, unless somebody is willing to take that step with Him, unless someone is willing to trust Him enough to say, okay Lord, wherever You go, I go, even if it's to the death. You can't be set free from it. You live your entire life bound in that fear. You live your entire life controlled by the world. You live your entire life worried about the future. How many people that had all of their money stocked away in golden key in this country? Think about that. How many business deals, how much saving, how much manipulation, how many people were cheated, how many good things that were happening that people just wanted to use a place to invest. Gone. Finished. Just like that. Now, when you die, just newsflash, when you die, it's finished anyways. So when you die, it's gone anyways. It's all done. So for those people, it's actually a blessing, because if you can take the window that you have between the time you lost everything there and the time that you actually die and make sure that you're on the right page with God, you've received a tremendous blessing. If you can take the window of time you have between the time that you lost everything and the time that you actually die and make sure you're on the right page with God, it's a huge blessing. Yes, what Nelson said. So it's a blessing to actually to be brought down if in that process you find the truth and God, you understand what's real and what's important. Okay, back to John 7. In that last and great day of the feast, Jesus cried and said unto them, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake this, he of the Spirit, which had believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, so just the first two verses. Okay, so there is ultimately, if somebody is going to come to Jesus, there's a few things that they're doing. They're accepting the truth. They're choosing to live their life in and around the truth. They're choosing to allow the truth to flood like a floodlight over their soul. They're choosing to allow the true person of who they are to be exposed. And in that process, in that painful process, there's also a massive blessing. Jesus gives you rest in that process. You go, He gives you rest. You get peace. The inside war that was in your soul all the time is now settled. Yes, outside there's things raging around you, but inside you have a sea of glass. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So now overlay all of this with John 15, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, remain in him, his words remain in us. So all the scripture ties together. And one thing we realize too is that in yourself you cannot do this. What it is it's a work of the Spirit of God that lives in you that does it. But what you and I can do is you and I can make a free will decision, a free will choice to come to Jesus and to bow your knee before the King and ask for His will, His Lordship, His rule in your life. Do you understand the difference? If you try to do something in yourself, in your own strength, the arm of flesh will always fail you. But if you, by your free will, the free choice that you make inside, choose, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, you bow your knee before the King, from that place of, and that spiritual position, now you're in a spot where the Spirit of God will flow through you, and the Spirit of God's what does the work in and through your life. And the flow of that Spirit is life. The flow of that Spirit is truth. What will flow from your belly is truth. What will flow from your belly is life into the world around you. What will flow from your belly is light. You will shine with the presence of God because God is flowing through you. God will see, people will see your life and they will see a reflection of the Father because God's face is shining upon you. So what we do is we make a free will choice. We bow our knee before the King of Kings. We ask for His Lordship, His rule, and the flow of the Spirit through us. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, time up. So I'll stop there for today.